of Wildy and Tausch begins now. We'll get back to the wide receiver conversation forthwith, but I want to touch on this before we go back to that, see some of the replies on Twitter. Rob Domofsky, our good buddy, wrote about the Jair Alexander situation and points out, I mean, he was writing about Nate Hobbs, but he points out in his story about Nate Hobbs, and I'm going to read on the radio, which I know people enjoy. It will not be in an Irish or German or pirate accent. While Alexander remains on the roster, the Packers are still trying to trade him, according to team sources and a source close to the player. They could wait indefinitely, but most likely would prefer to get something done before next month's draft. One source said the team had not approached Alexander about taking a pay cut, and that even if it did, he wouldn't be willing to do so. Without a trading partner, the Packers would likely release him, but there is no urgency to do so, because he has no guaranteed money left on his deal until the start of the regular season, when he is due $17.5 million. So, we already knew the no guaranteed money. There's no roster bonus to make them, you know what, or get off the pot with him. What I thought was interesting about this tidbit is that they haven't approached him to take a pay cut because they don't believe he would accept it. Here's why I bring that up, Tausch. Might it not be worth it for both sides? Like, I guess my question is, based on the conversations that I had with three NFL executives, what's his market? And are there going to be teams that are willing to pay him $17.5 million for this year? Or are there teams that would pay him more than what the Packers would pay him on a pay cut? Or might it be better for him and for the Packers at a lower rate to maybe keep him around? I thought this was a really interesting nugget in his Nate Hobbs story by Rob Domofsky. What about you?
So is Rob saying that that's what he should do?
He's not saying what he should do. He's just laying out the facts. Which is what I do in my stories, and then we talk about it.
What are his points on this? Because there's no trust on either side.
Correct.
So at some point, yeah, money's money, and we all need it, and we all are, you know, in the mood to earn more. For Jair, if all things are equal, why would you stay in Green Bay? Is it just because they might pay you a million or two more, or is it, I don't trust them, they don't trust me, it's been breached, I want to change the scenery.
Even for less money.
He's not going to give them an inch, and I think from his standpoint, maybe after we go through all this, maybe I will come back and say, I'd like to come back even though I have to take a haircut, because Green Bay doesn't want to pay him what they're going to pay him. And they're going to not pay him that. Jair doesn't know, I'm sure he has ideas, but nobody is willing so far anyways to give up any meaningful compensation so that Green Bay would say, right now, Green Bay, I would guess, if they got offered a sixth, and even if there were some conditions, I think they would take it.
He feels,
that obviously,
to me, like one of those deals where you give up a draft pick with him and you're basically moving up a few rounds. Like, you get a fifth for him, you got to send him and a seventh back, though. So it's not even really getting another draft pick. It's more just moving up spots. That's kind of how it feels right now to me, if you're going to get anything.
And Green Bay would do that.
I think they'd be happy to get anything in return since, as Rob points out, the expectation is eventually they're just going to release him. And if you're going to release him anyway, get what you can. Right?
Is there any hope for reconciliation? Anyone you've talked to up there?
Yes,
feel like
one
any
person.
That...
I talked to one person.
And what did
and
they
I do
say?
Think his, I do think his opinion matters.
What but did that person say?
He said that when, and this was the exchange he and I had, he said, hey, he could still play. He's still a really good player. And then I said, when he plays. And he said, that's fair. So, again, I mean, the problem here, to quote the great orator George W. Bush, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people. If the Packers bring him back, are they not running the risk of a third go-round of this? Like, there was Beverly Hills Cop 1, which was good. There was Beverly Hills Cop 2. I'm trying to use 80s references because that's your wheelhouse with J.R. Ewing, etc. And then there actually, I didn't even know there was this, but apparently there was a Beverly Hills Cop 3, and it's like viewed as one of the worst sequels in movie history. And then they came out with an Axel F like a couple of years ago that was apparently okay. But my point is that do you really want to risk doing this again and then having another season where your head coach is clearly frustrated and you're wondering whether he could be playing? Like, I just don't know if the siren song of how good he is when he's healthy, because remember, he started the season, he had a pick in Brazil, did he not? He had a pick six in Tennessee in week 3, and we were like, oh my gosh, the old Jair is back. We're all thinking about, oh, we got to write a story about how the suspension really changed his outlook, and he's all in. And then he went to Jacksonville, hurt his knee, went to Chicago and played those 10 snaps and pulled himself out, and then it spiraled from there. I just have a hard time, even if you are tempted by how good he is when he's healthy, that Goody, who is not the person I talked to, would say, yeah, let's run it back. Let's give it another shot. You take a pay cut, we'll put it all back in incentives. You can earn it all back if you play all 17 games. Let's do it. I just have a hard time picturing them doing that. I just do.
Well, the question is, if somebody else going to give you anything better from Jair's standpoint? And if the answer is no, a lot of times you're, you know, only as good as the opportunities that arise in front of you. You don't. Jair is not at the point where he's going to be dictating anything. This is going to be very, I would guess, very few teams interested in paying Jair a substantial amount of money up front. It is going to be an incentive-laden roster bonus per game suited up. Those are going to be the things he's going to be dealing with. Then it just comes back to, do I want a fresh start? Do I want to be out of Green Bay? Is it better for me mentally to just completely reboot? I'm guessing that answer is yes. But if nobody else would give you anything similar or close to the opportunity, Green Bay, by the way, we don't even know if they're interested in offering him this opportunity.
Right, you're right.
We don't know if they're willing to say
that. Right.
We'll cut your salary in half. You can earn it all back if you play. If I'm Jair, you're probably thinking, well, blank off. Like, that's not that enticing to me.
But
if nobody else offering you anything, then you have to look at it and say, well, maybe I'm not going to tell you to blank off.
Right. That's what I was just going to ask you. If Jair called you right now and asked for your advice, what would you tell him to do?
I'd say, you got the wrong Wilty.
Good one. Nice callback. What would you do?
Thanks, Kay. I'd tell him to go get a fresh start somewhere else.
I think I would, too. I just don't, like, it's time to start over. And even if you were to sign an incentive-laden deal with another team that was based on suiting up for X number of games, you go to a new team with a new start, with a different coaching staff, with a different medical staff, with a different strength and conditioning staff, maybe that's a better fit for you. But again, I go back to what one of those executives said, which was, he's a different guy now. And there, I think he has created concerns about his reliability and how he's going to handle whether he plays or doesn't play. And somebody sent me this, and I'm going to go back and find it. There was a clip from him in the locker room before all the injury issues of this season where he basically says, I'm not going to play if I'm not 100%. I can't play if I'm not 100%. And it was before the injury occurred. So my question for you is, if you're another team, if that is his mentality, is he worth taking on? and you get lucky and he stays healthy and you get a really, really good player for a bargain rate. But if his mentality is going to be, wherever he's playing, that he's not playing through injury because he can't be effective, that to me sounds like a recipe for nobody really wanting to deal with that in this league, even in this time. No?
This will all be cost versus, you know, the potential. Yeah. And that's why I don't think anyone is going to give him a bonko amount of money up front just banking that he's going to play. It's going to have to be earned, not given. And for Jair, that will be something that he's going to have to get his head wrapped around, unless there's an outlier that I don't know about.
And you'd rather earn it somewhere else, is what you're saying.
I just think, and my question back is, this high-ranking Packers official you talked to is open to having him back on this team, even though maybe there has been some frustration, especially from the head coach, after the fact that he was unable to be dressed and only played 10 snaps. How do you think LaFleur feels about it? You think LaFleur would be open-minded to doing this? Because he's the guy that's got to manage that roster on game days, not Goody.
Yeah. I think
trust frayed to the point where Matt LaFleur would say, I don't want him? Or would Matt LaFleur think, yeah, I'd be, if it's inexpensive enough, I'd be willing to take another flyer because the dude can play.
My gut tells me that he would be willing to take that flyer, but he would also have to change his approach, right? Like, he would have to do a way better job. Yes. Do you think the way he handled it publicly, I mean, he doesn't hide frustration well, right? Whether it's about London or David Bakhtiari or this situation, he's not a good actor. He's really good in his health system commercials. But other than that, his frustration shows, right? So if he were to be the one to say, you know what, Goody, if you can get him at this price, I'm willing to go through this again. He would have to do a better job of managing it if it turns out that there are issues again. And I don't know if he wants to do that. I think...
What is Jeff Hafley? How about Jeff?
I don't know. I can tell you this. Jeff Hafley is not among the people I've talked to. I want to talk to Jeff. I want to do a story on something, and I haven't gotten to talk to him.
You didn't get his number after that great flirtation you two had? At the end of the season with that boss?
Yeah, I don't. I'm hoping to sit down with him and then get his number subsequently. But the bottom line is that if Jair is healthy, he is a really good player. Everyone agrees on that. But if he is healthy is a huge caveat that I just don't think you're willing to put up with anymore. And you're kind of luring yourself into remembering what he used to be and remembering what he was early in the season last year, and you're forgetting how frustrating it was during the second half of the year. That's what I think. And now you've signed Nate Hobbs. You think Keyshawn Nixon is a good player, probably not a great player, but a good player. And I still think, and I'm not putting him in your class or Donald Driver's class or Adam Timmerman's class, but he might be in Rasheed Walker's class. I think Carrington Valentine could be a really good player. I do, as a seventh-round pick. So if Goody or LaFleur or Hafley or whoever else wants to call me, I'm going to say don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe again. Jair needs a fresh start, and so do you guys. That's what I would say. Okay. And I would also say, if you're going to bring him back, you're probably not going to be able to dream fearlessly, but you damn well better insure carefully.
That's true. Packer fans, dreaming of the ultimate draft day experience? Well, American Family Insurance Dream Draft Sweepstakes is your chance to win a VIP trip to the NFL Draft in Green Bay. Imagine this. You and a guest could score exclusive tickets, hotel accommodations, custom merchandise, and more. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you're not going to want to miss. Head over to amfam.com/packers to enter today. Again, that's amfam.com/packers. No purchase is necessary. It's open to legal residents of the state of Wisconsin, 21 years of age or older. Again, head over to amfam.com/Packers for official rules. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
We'll circle back to the wide receiver situation next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get back to the wide receivers, and before we get, maybe we won't get back to the wide receivers. Before we get to Wonelli, where Tausch has some story for a segment that's not his about Bartski and travel.
Well, I don't
want
to steal. Yeah, I don't need to.
You can just save it for tomorrow if you can remember it.
No, I'll tell you right now, unless you got something else that you got on your
mind. Well, I do a couple things. One,
okay, go for
just
it.
A couple of quick questions going back to, because the team at Team Apparel here in Green Bay, they do great work on clothes, and I think they should become a partner of Wildy and Tausch, so Travis, get on that. They were listening to us tell the story, and I've gotten a question back. They enjoyed the back and forth. I don't think the accountant, comptroller lady probably liked the reply that she thought was from me. If you joined late, she sent the bill to Jason Wildy at whatever platform it was and forgot the middle initial and got an FU response. The question that I've been asked is, do you think that this is the guy from back in the old days that hooked up with that woman who called me, because he seems like kind of a jerk, could be the kind of a jerk who would send that kind of a reply to someone who sent him a bill, which I think is an excellent question. But you don't. So, tell us your story.
No, I think it's a great little story. I guess I hadn't put two and two together. I don't know how many Wildies there are, and if this guy lives... He must live in Green Bay,
well,
right?
He's a Wisconsin guy. I don't know how common this is, and obviously it's possible that this could be someone completely unrelated, but it was funny to think.
I wonder how, maybe the next time you're off, Jesse has to track this guy down, and we host.
Well, I have his email address.
You should text him and see if he wants to host the show one day.
We're not.
We could dig
into
all
of this. We have a very strict screening policy for hosting and being on the air.
Oh,
is
no,
Chrissy Birdsall still clear?
We have a very strict process. Yeah, she's calling games for the Wisconsin Herd, but she
exactly.
ain't hosting shows here yet. Yeah.
Exactly.
Not on my watch.
Okay. Jesse, what do you have on the wide receivers?
This seems like a good time for someone to say, I agree with Jason. Sam and Kenosha, I'm with you, Jason. And I was one shouting to cut Davante Adams in his second year. And I still believe in Dontavian Wicks. So this goes back to what we were talking about with the receivers and whether you believe in who's there yet or not to develop.
Yeah, and look, and good text, Sam and Kenosha. But I would say this. You were wrong about Davante Adams. That doesn't mean that if you are a doubter about Wicks, you're not going to be proven right. That you were right to doubt him. You know, Davante turned out to be special. But a lot of times, guys who have second seasons like Davante had don't become what Davante became. They just turn out to be just guys that have some good moments but aren't ever number one wide receiver capable. So, yeah. Again, I, having this curiosity about those guys' potential, I could be wrong too. Like, Jaden Reed may not be him. Dontavian Wicks may not be him. Maybe this is all Jaden Reed ever will be, which would be great. If he's like Cobb-ish, Randall Cobb had a really, really good NFL career. He was never a number one wide receiver, though.
No, he wasn't.
So, great, but you better get somebody to be the one then. And if it's not Wicks, then who? And maybe that person's not even on the team yet. Maybe he's going to be drafted this year. I don't know. But the spinoff of Joey has become pretty clear that that's where we're at now. And now it's up to those guys to decide whether this Joey show is going to turn out to be as good as Frazier. Or if it'll just be the
Joey
Tucker Kraft show.
Joey was never close to
Frazier. Right, but this show's unwritten. It feels like Joey now.
Natasha.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be the Tucker Kraft show more than it's going to be any of these.
I think you're right.
Dave and Aaron on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I do have to apologize to Goody, which he spells like cutie, G-U-T-I-E, about not picking up a wide receiver. Even Cooper Kupp was paid well over his worth. Dave and Aaron.
I love how you kind of correct grammar as you go through these.
I learn from the best.
I have to do that on a few trivia questions from time to time. Yeah. Cooper Kupp is a wide receiver of the Jair Alexander situation without the acrimony. Although there was certainly some acrimony with him and the Rams after they informed him he was going to be released. But he's been injured for 3 years. And he's still got $15 million a year from John Schneider and the Seahawks. So, are you interested in any of the people that are left? Bill Huber put together a list of 15 wide receivers who are still available.
Oh, yerp or nerp?
That's the kind of game I would love to play if you were willing. Why don't we save that for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Can you ask, if we do it with these wide receivers, can you ask Eleanor to give us a second chance on yerp or nerp? And just to see, maybe it was just, I think this is built for yerp or nerp.
She's very forgiving. I know how she wants this to be good. She likes to contribute to the show. So without speaking to her, I will give you an open book into trying this one more time.
Yes. All right. I love it. We're going to play yerp or nerp with the wide receivers tomorrow that Bill Huber listed as still possibilities for the Packers. In the interim, we're going to play Woe Nelly coming up next.
Unless Aaron Rodgers signs with the Vikings.
Well, you better get your vocal cords ready if that happens, Jetta boy. You got songs to sing, old boy.
And it's 12 verses.
The whole show is going to be that song.
It doesn't even say if I'm reading the email, the text message, which is really long.
Yep.
It doesn't even say what the melody is to.
That is how the entire year of headlines presented by Fleet Farm went. Is there were he would just send copy and paste me the lyrics. I had no idea what song it was, and he'd walk in the studio. All right, we ready? For what?
First off, that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Certainly better than the movies.
That feels like that's how you guys feel, and unfortunately, that's how some other people felt, too. So, but not at UW Credit Union. That's right. Mark Tauscher here. As a UW Credit Union member, what I love is they are here for every stage of life. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. I've been a member for over a year now, and I'm ready to give fees that stiffer. I know, Jason, you've been a member longer. That's what I've heard. They save members over $12 million per year. And you know what? UW Credit Union is your location for home loans. With UW Credit Union's local experts, a great loan at a great rate is never far from home. Join today at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Why are you laughing at him through his entire read? That wasn't very nice.
Because he says Mark Tauscher here. Jason Wilde here, and I've been a UW Credit Union member longer than Mark Tauscher. Jason Wilde here, and if you've been injured in an accident, you should call Gruber Law Offices. Jason Wilde here.
It's a good reminder.
I don't understand why you're reading. You're doing the show. We know who you are.
Oh, I can't wait to be on vacation. It's coming. I'm plugging along. We'll just keep plugging.
Jason Wilde here. You can stay tuned to Wilde and Tausch for Woe Nelly. That's next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now for Whoa No.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Jesse Nelson here for Whoa, Nelly, and I'm going to toss it over to Mark Tauscher with his version of a story from his road trip down to St. Louis over the weekend. Tausch?
So, yes, thank you, Jesse, and I appreciate you letting us know for those that have just jumped in and tuned in to let you know who's talking. So, thank you very much for that. So, this was our last weekend of hockey. The Caps got knocked off. We were unable to beat a tough Mission team from Chicago, so our season came to an end. And the stories with the Bartski for this year have come to an end. We had the great carpool ride down to St. Louis. It was me and Max and Chase and Bartski. And it was fun. I was navigating all this other stuff. And Bartski struggled with it. He was a little, or the Dallas part, he was where I was driving. And I asked him to do a bunch of things. Well, so what happened this weekend, you may ask, with Bartski?
Hey, what happened this weekend, Tausch?
He had his lovely wife down with him, and who do you think was a little difficult in driving and not getting the right turns and missing turns and getting a little bit upset with his wife doing the same thing?
Uh-oh.
Maybe old Bartski owes old T a little apology, because it sounds like maybe he was a little old T-ish. As he was navigating through the streets of St. Louis this last weekend. Because that's what happened.
What?
Are there more details to this? Or... Jason Wilde here, and I'm wondering if there's more details.
All right, Whoa, Nelly.
No, wait a minute.
I just told you the story. So you guys don't have to like
you
it.
Just I'm think Bartski got some comeuppance for how...
That's exactly what I just said, and you guys don't seem to care or find it interesting, which is fine, so let's move it along. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
I feel this is awkward now. It was fun.
I thought there was more. You teased it like in hour one of the show.
Oh, well, Nelly. All right, what do you got,
whoa,
Jesse?
Oh, Nelly!
Can't wait for that vacation, he says.
Did you guys...
Well, you know that's right.
Did you guys know we're on the eve of opening day in Major League Baseball?
I didn't know that. Are they playing Australia or something?
Japan, I believe it is. 5:10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Oh, boy.
The Major League Baseball season, regular season game, takes place in Tokyo between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the NL Central Division rival, Chicago Cubs. They're playing tomorrow and they're playing Wednesday, 5:10 a.m. first pitch both days. National TV for both on the Fox, I think it's Big Fox tomorrow and FS1 the next day. That's your first two games of the Major League Baseball season. Then both the Dodgers and Cubs come back to the States. They play preseason games over the weekend. And then the regular season starts with Brewers-Yankees, 2:05 next Thursday, the first real game of the MLB season. Can we stop doing this Tokyo series to start the year? They've done this several years now. It doesn't work. No one ever knows when it's happening unless your team's playing in it. Nobody's watching the games at 6 in the morning. I think we got to stop this.
No, I love it. I think it's good that they're trying to spread the game. Japan obviously is a huge baseball market. They've done this over in Australia. I would say Major League Baseball needs to do this more so than the NFL does. Major League Baseball is a more international game than the NFL, and they need to find... Now, should they be going into marketplaces that are all in on baseball? Maybe more so. Japan is. There's no doubt. I don't have a problem with it. I don't fully understand. Is it you try to let these guys get their legs back under them before they start the regular season so there's no competitive disadvantage? I'm all right with this. I like it. And the fact that it's on Big Fox, not on Peacock or some streamer, at 5:10 a.m., I'm going to fact check Jesse on that. But if that is the case, I love it.
I think they should play in Ireland, and they should play on St. Patrick's Day. And I think that would be a good way to go, and maybe they could get Tausch to call the games. Or not.
Did you want me to follow up? I don't know where you wanted me to go with that.
Bartsky, I can't believe he got his comeuppance.
We've had a pretty fun show, and I feel like we really lost it here.
I don't have any interest in these games either. I think Tausch made good points about it being a very heavy baseball market. I do find it odd now that baseball starts before April begins. The Brewers even have their opener on March 31st, which I think is when the vacation will end for old T, and he'll be back, maybe.
Yeah.
But look, I understand what they're trying to do. All these leagues are looking to expand the size of their pie, right?
Yep.
And again, I go back to what Mark Murphy said in his column this month. The idea that they are going to play international games every other year is incredible to me. And Matt LaFleur is going to lose his mind every other year. So I understand why baseball is doing this. I understand why the NBA wants to get into China. I get all of that. But that doesn't mean that it's great for the viewing experience. And to Jesse's point, I'm not getting up that early to watch a game that doesn't... If it was the Brewers, would you do it, Jesse?
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I'll probably be up, I'll be honest. I'll turn it on in the morning. I'd rather have that on than... And like Good Morning America, if I'm putting a show sheet together or having breakfast, whatever... Throw some baseball on, sure.
Sure.
If you remember that it's happening, but like I haven't seen a single ounce of promotion. I literally saw a headline that Mookie Betts is like sick, and that's how I learned there's baseball being played tomorrow for real. Like that's how it came up.
What, do you have bad sushi? What does that have to do with playing baseball in Japan?
Sounds like their marketing leaves something to be desired. All right, I think we're done here.
Nerp.
A tough Wonelli. Tough Wonelli for
tomorrow,
everybody.
Mrs. Bartsky to give us the details of his comeuppance. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
Who would have thought after two seasons?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That Greg Gard would have less of a hot seat than Luke Fickell.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
All right, we're already over time, so we got to go. Our favorite leprechaun with your video and photo of you with your double rainbow. You are still here tomorrow, mostly for most of the show anyway. And then the vacation commences. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right, you do not want to miss tomorrow's show. It'll be Tausch's last show for a while, so be sure to tune in. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.